views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
AM, the Internet, and beyond. Keeping you informed every step of the way. Don't be left behind. You are listening to the Yo Andrew News Talk Show.
Tuesday, December 16th, 2014, 107. Since being in the YNTS studio, currently aired live on Itcher Radio, Route 1 Radio, Best After Dark, Transformation Talk Radio, WBOQ AM 1230, and audio graded. More information about the program, www.yoandrewnts.com. Tweet me at AndrewTweetGeo. Email is yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. You can Facebook.com. Like us, Yo Andrew News Talk Show, in parentheses, radio show. 2014 is coming to an end. We chose our three favorite segments, two favorite guests, and one favorite sound clip of wisdom to end off 2014 the best way possible.
It's a marshmallow world in the winter when the snow comes to cover the ground.
Happy Hanukkah to all of our Jewish friends in the audience. I know if you're not listening tonight, well, if you are, let the one candle lit and hopefully we can have a conversation through it. Howard Forrest, my phone screener, he has, we both decided that our phone lines were have come to an end at some point, and he's moved on to a sports show in Jersey. We wish him the best of luck. And my father, spectating as always, Tay Giordano. I'm your host, Joe Andrew. Welcome to the program. 2015 is on its way. And many of you who have not heard already, we have decided to move on to better projects in different places. Yet, we know that 2014 is coming to an end, and we've had such a great year with this program and such a great ride with this program. And what I did last night in the studio was go through every single outline and decided on the three best segments of 2014. And the three best segments were, number one, the dress code that went on in Staten Island, New York, on a local high school I decided not to name. The second was why I want to eliminate the SATs. And the third was Do Nothing Congress and the piece we read from Washington Times about civility. Those were the three number one segments of 2014. The two best guests that we spoke to in 2014 that we chose in the second hour. The first one we spoke to was the director of Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return, Will Finn. Also one of the directors of Pocahontas and Hunchback of Notre Dame back in the 90s. And our second favorite was Ezekiel Jackson, former WWE superstar. Two great guests that we really went into and wanted to get for special occasions. But let's begin with the first segment of 2014 here on the ONG News Talk Show. And this was back in September 23rd, 2014. A local high school was interrupted by a brand new principal who came in and wanted to make drastic changes. And one of those changes was the dress code. We had a conversation on what many parents said, what was in their student handbook, and was the rule even changed, just enforced. Here it is, our segment, the top of the hour, on September 23rd, 2014. One of the one out of three of our favorite segments of 2014. We don't do many local stories. We don't. There was a time when we were a local radio program. We were up in the Bronx. We were in a very small studio. It worked out in our favor 6 years later. Believe it or not, last week marked 6 years ago I started behind this microphone, and we've been going 6 years stronger, 2 years doing this program here in my own studio. When we came here, we started to expand and become syndicated, meaning our show can play through many different locations. It's hard to do something local here in the Staten Island area. It's not easy. But when I saw this local story become national, I couldn't believe it. We don't get many stories out of here in Staten Island becoming national. I said, well, it's my duty to take this story and bring it out onto the mainstream, and that's what I'm doing now. Now, I'm not going to name this high school for personal reasons, but what I'm going to do is give you a description to the best of my ability. Third largest school in New York City, holds 4,000 students, and you see 40 or more in a classroom where there's always rules saying it should be lower. So it gives you a description on what the school is and how a new principal that has joined this high school, a lot of responsibility on his hands. But one thing he saw that was a problem, like any other new principal, right? New principal, new president, new mayor, new... Anyway, you come in, you see what your predecessor did, and if it's a he or a she, and you now, okay, this is a problem, we're going to address it. When it comes to a dress code, dress codes have been in school since the beginning of time. Dress codes are not new. And sometimes when you enforce something, that doesn't mean it's a new idea. Think about it. There are hundreds of laws in the federal government, right? Books and books and books. If you go to your nearest library, if you still have one, sadly, they're not living up to the part anymore due to lack of funding and technology expanding. You see hundreds of laws. So when a president comes in, for example, and decides, well, I'm going to take this law and I'm going to enforce it, or I'm going to create a brand new law, well, how about we look back on what we already have? This new principal in this local high school in Staten Island that we're speaking about, if you're just coming in, join the program, he sees the existing dress code, and he's not creating a new dress code, but he's coming out, and he is now enforcing it. This is the dress code. I'll add a thing here and there, but the reason why we do this is in our handbook. It's been on our handbook for a long time. And that's what we have here, clip 6.
The student handbook reads, inappropriate dress can cause unnecessary distractions.
So that's what the handbook says. The handbook says we have a dress code for this reason. Now, we've seen many students see a new principal. You see a little bit of a twist of a new policy, and you're going to start seeing a lot of backlash. And BuzzFeed has a great piece on it. Do I agree with the title? This high school sexist dress code has caused 200 detentions in just the last 2 weeks? Of course I don't. But they at least give you a nice timeline on where we're going here. So the dress code came about. Now, Staten Island High School recently instituted Dress for Success dress code. Many students and parents are now calling it severe and sexist. The dress code prohibits tank tops, low-cut blouses, tubes, hatter and midriff tops, along with short shorts and short skirts. What students have been furious about, especially, is the hot summer months since the high school doesn't have air conditioning. The Staten Island Advance interviewed the high school students last week, 2 weeks ago. They told reporters that administrators were pulling students out of hallways. Students whose clothes were deemed inappropriate were given the option to change to a large gray athletic clothes or sit in the hot auditorium and wait for their parents to bring a change of clothing. According to the New York Post, 200 students received detention due to dress code violations, and 90% of those students were female. The high school principal has been speaking with reporters, but Amy Horowitz, the school district superintendent, said the school is going after any clothing that interferes with the learning and teaching process. So let's go to what Amy Horowitz said. It interferes with the learning and teaching process. By looking at this dress code, what's wrong? I don't see anything wrong with it. If you're going to school and you're not dressing yourself appropriately in an educational institution, you have the right to change your clothes to something more appropriate or wait till someone can bring you that clothing. That dress code's been around for what? Because they changed the name? What? Because a new principal has arrived and decided to do his job? I think that's pretty good. I don't think we're interfering with anyone's rights. When you arrive and you attend this high school, you are accepting the rules that go along with it. And if you don't like it, you get out. You have choices. We live in America. It's not one high school for all. There's many high schools for many different people. I don't understand the problem. So let's look at the high school's problem. The high school's problem. This is the only problem they have. Because their dress code comes out very clearly. Tank tops, low-cut blouses, tubes and halters, midriff tops, short skirts. You can't wear it. The high school is coming out saying you can't wear these clothing because it's a distraction. And I think that's a lack of reasoning. And I think we should go back into the high school's handbook and change this statement. Because what you're doing is you're saying that, well, I can't learn because a beautiful young lady next to me is looking very attractive today because she's wearing less clothes than normal. Let me tell you something. I'm a young man. A girl can wear long jeans and a beautiful shirt, and I'm going to look at her. There's more to the eye than the clothes. There's the body type, there's the hair, there's the personality, the whole nine yards. But this is not Valentine's Day, so I'm not going to get into love and hate. But what I'm going to do is show you that it's not a distraction. Of course, people could be distracted by it. But in today's world, it's normal. We had a conversation last week of divorces. Do you remember the conversation? If you were listening, how divorces has become the norm. Well, looking half naked becomes a norm also. Not agreeing with it. Many people go out and try to go against it. And that's a conversation for another day. I do know is this. I know that if the young girl or even young guy is not looking appropriate, it should not be a distraction. You should not be allowed to wear the clothing because it's not appropriate in an educational institution. That is the wording that should be in this high school handbook. And if you don't agree with me, well, then you and me are on different sides and you have the right to listen to another show until next hour because that's where we're going. And I'm strong about my opinion and how these statements should be changed because I think we all agree. You're going to be distracted left or right. If a bee comes into the classroom, you're going to be distracted. Young girl comes in, she's from another country, you want to get to know her, that's going to be a distraction. You got cell phones, that's a distraction. Cell phones, see, the rules of cell phones, and I have the cell phone in my hand right now. It's on vibrate, it's on Wi-Fi only, I'm not being distracted by it. Many schools have the rule where you're not allowed to bring electronic devices, cell phones, because they should not be allowed in school. They should not be involved in learning. So why can't we have the same thing for the dress code? Why can't we put that into the statement? What's the problem? I think many students and many teachers are coming out and they're getting angry just because of your defense to this new dress code. Or, excuse me, sorry, it's not new. It's the dress code that's being enforced just a little bit more clear than years before. Because when I was in high school, believe me, you saw young girls and you saw men. Yeah, I know. They wore. Oh, they did all right. Short shorts, chains, baggy pants, you name it. I don't understand the situation. But I don't agree that this high school is coming out with that statement. It's a distraction. There's a lot more to it and it needs to be more clear. Now, we see many students from this high school come out and give their defense to it. And I want to share with some of you. But this particular student, what he said against this dress code, and it's so ironic because something happened at my job that's going to really walk in. And I said to my manager, do you know this is going to add right into the segment that we're talking about? So this is what a student said of why he disagrees with the dress code. This is what he said. It is, I have it here. Yeah, here it is, clip 5.
He makes it like a workplace. He makes it like we're professionals, but it's really just school.
It's really just school. Do you know that at my job, he was interviewing a young man to get a job as a sales associate at my job. And he was in the sales floor waiting. He saw the young man with sweatpants, with a t-shirt on. And my manager told my sales associate, my manager told me this story. He said, if this young man is coming for this interview, I'm walking inside, tell him I had an emergency, and I'll call him back. In other words, you're not getting this interview. Believe it or not, the kid walked in, my manager ran to the back, the kid never got called back. So when you tell, see, so this is it. There is no difference between a workplace and a school place. There isn't. Because at both places, you have to dress appropriately. In both places, you have dress codes and policies. I had an internship with 710 WOR, and we had a dress code that I had to follow. And if I couldn't follow it, I had to, sadly, and not be able to have the internship no more. I did the dress code, and I was perfectly fine with it. That's a workplace. This is a school. What's the difference? A educational institution is a high school, is a college. It's a public school. It's a Catholic school. That's what an educational institution is. And I look at it this way. That in an educational institution, what are you doing? You're teaching young men and women to eventually use their knowledge they learn in the classroom for the real world. The real world might be struggles, and the real world might be horizons they will face. So if you think, I could wear sweatpants because I'm in school. What makes you think that won't carry on with you in the future? The school is not just teaching you to, of course, that you have a responsibility, an educational institution, to dress this way. Also, because we are teaching you dress and not to dress. Because many kids think, because it's some little store that's probably going out of business, I have the right to come in and wear sweatpants. Well, that's not the case. And if maybe you followed your dress code in high school, you would know that. But here's another student, and this is her reaction to it. Clip 7.
I don't like it. I mean, if we had air conditioning, I would understand. But it's so hot in the school, I don't like it at all.
If you had air conditioning, then I wouldn't dress up. Like I'm wearing a two-top like I'm going to the Las Vegas gallery tonight. That's my buzzword of strip club. I mean, if I spend millions of dollars on air conditioning, you will stop wearing inappropriate clothing. So in a workplace, if there was no air conditioning, starting off in the workplace, you're 19, you're young, have a lot of college debt. I've been there, still am. You would, there's no air conditioning, so I can wear whatever I want. It's different. It's not different. I already taught you that. Let me say it again. How about you find clothing that's light? This dress code is not saying you can't wear. You just can't wear it to a certain height. You can wear shorts. You just can't wear shorts that go so high that you can't see them anymore. You can't wear tank tops. You can wear nice light shirts. Believe me, I have a mom. We go to the mall. She goes shopping. She finds all the nicest clothing. And believe it or not, covers everything. Why? Because it exists. Why? Because it's there. Why? Because it's light, it's comfortable, and it could work in your favor. It's that simple. The clothing, the dress code, it's been around for years, and it's going to be around for many years to come.
Listen to all the interviews off the air at www.yoandrewnts.com/interviews.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
It's amazing how the world has changed in just several years, especially how we try to figure out who someone is. I know how it is. I'm a radio host, an entrepreneur, and my goal every day is to inform people, but also tell them a little bit about me. Before they go on this program, or before they even listen, the first place they want to go to is your website. And that's why we have www.yoandrewnts.com. We made it so simple to navigate and so easy to look at from your mobile device or from your laptop or tablet. You'll be able to hear who we are, read what we've done the past few years, and even listen to interviews, and you can download it right to your phone or computer and listen anytime you want. That's our gift to you. So what are you waiting for? www.yoandrewnts.com is active from about anywhere, and you're able to view, listen, and be a part of the program today.
He always wanted to be a Rush Hour Renegade.
Hello, San Francisco. We're the Rush Hour Renegades. I'm Joey Gladstone. This is my partner, Jesse Katsopoulos. Say hi, Jess.
24 years later, he settles for Yo Andrew.
Rush Hour Renegades! Come on at ya!
A week away from Christmas, and I know I'm not the only one who's going for that Christmas rush. You're working all week, you have no time to get up and actually shop for the ones you love. I know, and it's funny because we all are hypocrites. I'm not going to be a part of that Christmas rush. We don't have a choice. If you miss the Black Friday and the Cyber Week, there's nothing on sale. There's some stores here and there, but you know that the weekend before Christmas, you're going to start seeing the 50, the 60, the 70% off. You're going to start seeing items at a better price than they were weeks ago. So you have no choice but to wait. That's how they do it. That's how they get you. And who's that? Well, those are the companies and those are the places you're probably shopping at. On April 8th, 2014, we decided to tackle this issue. And it was the SATs. I, to this day, hate the SATs. I think they're worthless, and we're starting to see many studies come out saying how they are worthless. And I took it out on many, and I told my audience how I truly felt. And it got to be one of my favorite segments of 2014. Here it is, another top of the hour segment, April 8th, 2014, why I don't agree with the SATs.
I think DJ will do a lot better on this test tomorrow if we just downplay the whole thing, you know? So if it comes up at all, just say, hey, it's no big deal, it's just a test. Repeat after me, we'll all try it. Ready? It's no big deal, it's just a test.
It's no big deal, it's just a test.
I think she'll buy that. I do.
Guys, really, I'm never going to get into Stanford if I don't go study.
Sweetheart, it's no big deal. It's
just a test.
What, did you guys rehearse that?
No.
It's so funny how some of my favorite Full House episodes has Candace Cameron, who played DJ, in it. It's one of my favorites. It was that one and the Super Bowl. That was, I think Super Bowl was in season 8. On top, yes, it wasn't in season 8 because she didn't get into Stanford, but she got into something else and she was trying to get the scholarship. And the way DJ Candace Cameron, who plays the character on Full House, It's just the way she acts, her reactions, her facial expressions. And that episode was the SAT, when she was going to take her SAT and my whole life depends on this. And the father, Bob Saget, who plays Danny Tanner, tells the whole family, if DJ comes and if you see she's worried, just say, don't worry, it's just a test. One of my favorites. I couldn't stop watching it when I was recording that clip in the studio. Howard Forrest, my phone screener. Mary Clisson, Skalky, my producer. Moon Summer, voiceover personality. My father, Teddy Giordano, spectating. My mom always wanted me to say this. Critic in the back room, Sherry Giordano. I'm your host, JoAndrew. Welcome to the program. In a few more seconds, she's going to come out and be like, that's all right, that's not real. In like a few seconds, I think we should all just sit back and put my feet up and wait. No, I'm kidding. Welcome to the program. SATs. What are SATs anyway? And you can right now sit here and give me the whole, well, Andrew, the SAT is a standardized assessment test that's taken by millions of students throughout the country to give the college a more qualifications if you should be accepted. Some might say it might be where you place in life. I personally think it's pointless. I think it's worthless. And I think they should be disintegrated. Those who make the SAT and those who actually print out the paper and distribute it. I don't care. I don't like the SAT. Now, I'm going to go into a personal story of mine. Because this story that I'm going to show you really gives you an idea why I don't like the SAT. And it's not because I didn't like sitting through a 3.5-hour test. And I went to a New York City public school, so you know it, and I know it. Air conditioners are not very, it's not there. So it gets pretty hot. I'd rather have taken the SAT on a school lawn before I took it in my classroom. I digress. Let me go on. Let's share my story with you. I went to the College of Mount St. Vincent. It's a school located in Riverdale, Bronx. I did my program there for 4 years. Went from Yo Andrew on the Air to Yo Andrew Live News Talk Show to Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Came home, graduated, built the studio. A year and a half later, we're now a syndicated radio program. Now, did the SAT give me the opportunity to go to this college? Give me opportunity to begin my own program. Give me the opportunity to be employed by two companies and to do this syndicated radio program each week. Gain two sponsors. Be on six stations live. Two off the air. iHeartRadio 24/7. Meet my friend Howard Forrest, who's phone screening for us, and being introduced to his program and his Block Talk Radio account. He should get all the credit. He brought me here also. If it was because of the SAT, I got introduced to all these different things. No. And I'll tell you why. Because I did not do good on my SAT. I did pretty bad. And the reason why I'm telling you this is because you're my audience and we got to become a family the past 2 years. Well, excuse me, almost 2 years. And if you've been listening to me always since college, we've been friends for a long time, so I can tell you guys anything, and I won't feel afraid. So I'll tell you, I did pretty horrible. Let's just say I have 2,400, and we're talking about writing also being included. I did pretty bad. And that's okay. When I decided I want to go to this college, the College of Mount St. Vincent, small private college, they wanted what? They wanted, you know, the SATs, the cover letters, the recommendations, and your transcript. Gives you all the high school grades and such. When I gave them the whole package and such, we decided to call up the college, and we decided to tell them, we understand that the SATs aren't really that good. We never got a response from them. That was it. And we said we really want to get into this college. We think it's close by. It's a beautiful area. It's not too far to travel if my parents want to visit. And I think 4 years of education is going to help me in the long run. So they said, we want you to contact Vice President Tim Nash, who still actually is there today. I would be surprised if he becomes president of the college. That's besides the point. So I remember typing in this letter. My name is Andrew Giordano, high school student. I want to go to this college. Beautiful four paragraphs. Parents read it over. They loved it. We send it off. We then, I was in college. My mom called up my grandma. You got in. That's how history began. I went 4 years in college. And what did I do for those 4 years? I ran cross country? Yes. Did I do radio? Yes. International Student Association? Yes. School newspaper? Yes. Student government? Yes. I did it all. Student leader? Yes. Founder of the talent show? Yes. On the school website? Yes. Athletics? Yes. I'm on it all. And I'm not bragging to you. I'm trying to show you that the SATs, if the SATs was the decision maker of me going into college, no, I wouldn't have been on cross country in college. No, I possibly wouldn't be able to have the opportunity to go on the air, build the station, founder of the media club, broadcasted streaming for events and broadcasting in sports. See, Howard, I did some announcing in basketball for the first time. 2 weeks ago, I saw a talent show. All my friends are posting on Facebook, great job to this performer and that performer. Who's one of the founders of that talent show? Andrew was. I'm not lying to you. Go to my college right now and ask them. They'll tell you, yeah, it's true. It's damn true. And was the SATs the decision maker? No. It was not. It was that one letter. That story, though, doesn't end there. It was graduation, and I don't know if I share the story with many people. I'll share it with you right now. I was going up to what's called Founders Hall to give my gown, say congratulations and such, and I was a poli-sci minor. A lot of people don't know that. I did it in a year and a half span. Thank you to Dr. Joseph Skelly, who should be on my program very soon. We have to get him on again. Great guy, great mentor, great professor all around. And I was walking down the stairs, and I see Tim Nash, vice president, sitting. And he says, Andrew, he knows my name. Congratulations. Did great things here. Good luck in the future. I remember his face. And I said, thank you. You know, if it wasn't for you, who knows if I would be here. Now, Tim Nash, he was once the head of the, you know what? I don't know if he was vice president at that time, because I remember he was head of the graduation, you know, the accepting students and such. But I know I sent a letter to him. And I actually did great things with Vice President Nash through freshman year, a mentor program that I did, and my mentor, Bill Beckman, he retired. Great guy. Always a supporter. And he said, you know, and well, I said, thank you. I really appreciate it. I go and ask him how the kids were. I remember we spoke about him having kids. They're doing great. Ba, 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 ba. Thank you. Goodbye. Did he come up to me? He knew my name. He knew what I did for the college. Did he come up to me because of the letter I sent him 4 years ago? Probably not. No. What are the odds of him remembering a letter I sent to him 4 years ago? Have you ever been in those moments? You're sitting there. Hey, do you remember that conversation we had 5 years ago? Unless there was an explosion right next to it, you're not going to remember it, probably. He remembered me. He remembered what I did for the college. That mentor program I just shared with you. He saw my posters of my radio program throughout campus. He saw me taping and editing, running up and down the hills, getting lunch, and always, every time I saw him, shake his hand. But if the SAT came in and decided my future, my continued education, where would I be today? Or I went to CSI, the College of Staten Island here in New York. I wouldn't have gotten the radio station. It's competitive. It's FM off the bat. Cross country, I decided I wasn't going to join cross country. But students and a coach that was brand new recruited me. Would have CSI done that? Probably not. The SATs did not give a future. I did. Background did. Personality did. The SATs wasn't going to tell me, I don't know if you're capable of creating a radio program, capable of doing many activities at once, capable of getting a bachelor's degree in 4 straight years. I don't think you're capable. That's what the SAT would have told me. That's not what a human being told me. No college. And if you see a recent statistic, and it was by a young gentleman who actually, for 4 or 5 years, did a whole study, how he studied those who got accepted into college with SATs and those who didn't get in college with SATs. The difference of who graduated and who didn't graduate, 1%, not even. Do you know 750 of our colleges now do not accept students for SATs? Because they're pointless, because they're meaningless. But now there's new rules. New rules of the SAT. Of course they are. Because they're realizing that people are not doing well. Because you're preparing for an assessment test. You are prepping how to take the test. Not actually what's in it. You're being tested on how good you are of taking this particular format. Not what's actually in it. I'm sorry, but why should my parents or myself in the future pay thousands of dollars to teach me process of elimination and when to circle A and when to circle B? I don't think that's fair. I don't like it. We should be learning on the content that's in it. Information that's going to help us in the future, get us a job, boost the economy, do your dreams, make them come true. And the SAT is not going to prove that. No, it's not. I don't want any college to choose anyone by their race, by their color, by their ethnicity, by their age, by their face, by their clothes, by their legs. I don't care. They should be choosing them by 3 things. By the transcript, the grades that teachers gave them, by the background information, and you'll see that by recommendations by teachers, and by the letter being given, and a 5-minute to 10-minute interview on phone call. That's how kids should be chosen for college, not SATs.
Tweeting is not a new trend. How about Tweet Yo Andrew on the air and off the air at Andrew Tweet Geo.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
This is Stereo 1230 WBLQ Westerly Stonington, a DuPonti communication station.
WBLQ.
Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us on and off the air with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com.
Sticking with a trend can be very hard, especially for your feet. You wear those Converse for all those years, and before you know it, your feet is bigger than the shoe itself. How about take care of your feet and get expert advice with our friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz, who owns a podiatry practice right here in the Brooklyn and Staten Island area. He treats foot and ankle deformities, sports and walking problems, diabetic feet, injuries and wounds, and many more. Don't be left behind. I want you to go and stop by my friend Dr. Howard Dinowitz if you're ever in the area, or give him a call at his Brooklyn location, 718-627-1212, or his Staten Island location, 718-720-4848. Don't wait. Your feet needs the care, and why not do it right now? And if you go right now, they might thank you for it. And the best of 2014 lives on. We are going to introduce to you our third favorite segment of 2014 here on the O'Andrew News Talk Show. I have to say we had a great year. I have to say we had a great 2.5 years. What am I saying? 6.5. The name lives on. You sat there one night in a chair in 2008 and you said, I'm going to make a blog today. Blog went on for 5 years. The news talk show goes on for 6.5. Yet the name YoAndrew lives on. And we're so glad that you were able to be with us this whole time. Especially in 2014. And our third favorite segment of 2014. Yes, it was politics. Was about the Do Nothing Congress. But it was also about civility. And how does civility get involved in politics? This was on January 21st, 2014. Okay. Here we go.
Put your head on my shoulder. Hold me in your arms, baby. Squeeze me on.
That's what we have to do on a night like this, snowing outside. Here I am. Probably someone is saying, snow where? Look out the window, the sun's coming down. Well, when you hear a song like this, that means I'm probably going to speak about some politics, and I'm going to. Welcome to the YoAndrew News Talk Show. I'm YoAndrew. It's really funny when you hear a song like that, put your arm around my shoulder. I always think about politicians, or in other words, I think of Congress. Because I feel there are some days that they just need to put their arms around each other and remember that we're adults and we can work together. I know it sounds crazy, right? I know it does. Phone screener, Howard Forrest, Mary Claire Siniskowski, my assistant producer, Moon Summer, my voiceover personality, and my father, Spectator Teddy Giordano. He's with me. Welcome to the program. I'm Yo Andrew. And I know there's been so much going on. You have Sherman, the wide receiver on the Seahawks, opening up his mouth. I don't know why that's such a large story. I saw one article by the Huffington Post that what Sherman said really shows what America is. You got very racial comments on social networking, calling him a thug because of what he said, how he said it, his color. I look at it as this. Crabtree, the wide receiver, he was supposedly bad-mouthing him. He then talked back, and Crabtree did speak back at him, Sherman, right after it ended. He spoke right back at him. And he said he called him fake. That was right after the whole incident after the game between the Seahawks and the 49ers. I don't know why that's such a big deal. I look at it this way. It's sports. You're going to get mad. I admit it, and I always will. I'm a Jet fan, and we've had Dale Revis. He had a big mouth. Remember when he thought he was one of the best corners in the whole league? Biggest mouth than anybody. Believe me, we had Keyshawn Johnson back in the 90s. Biggest mouth. We ignored it. We let it go. I don't think we can look at this situation and really say this is America. Because one football player said a few words. We can go a lot more into that conversation. I won't, though. Super Bowl's not until next week. I don't have to talk about that. This past Friday, what else did we see in the news? President Obama coming out once again saying, I didn't know about it. I didn't know that text messages were being collected by the NSA. I had no clue. I didn't know about it until now. Apparently, he won't know about the Super Bowl contenders until it actually happens. Well, you know what? I did not know about the Broncos. Or the Seahawks, I did not have a clue. I guess something has to happen at the Super Bowl for President Obama to be informed. It's a new thing. It's a new trend. But I don't want to go into that. I don't want to go more into that. President Obama, he finally said something about marijuana. He said he tried it. And that brings a flashback. Bill Clinton said he did also back in the 90s. President Obama said that alcohol is worse than marijuana is, even though he's got to now apologize to the many he has raided, him and his goons raided. He's raided more dispensaries of marijuana than President W. Bush. If you don't believe me, we can have a conversation on it. I've had interviews in college. I've watched Morgan Spurlock, Inside Man. We've had the producer on. He had a whole episode on. It was one of my favorites. But I'm not going to talk about that. Snow's back. Every Tuesday, it's been something weird. There's been some type of weather phenomenon coming at me. 2 weeks ago, it was the vortex. Last week, it was torrential rain. And today is the unexpected snowstorm that knocked on our doorsteps. I'm not going to talk about that. No, I don't want to. I want to speak about Congress. The reason why I want to speak about Congress today is they're very important. You like laws, you hate laws. You have a very strong opinion about an issue, and what's the first people you go to create some type of reform, regulation, approval? If you're really into money, and you talk about cutting spending, raising taxes, bringing revenue, creating legislation for more jobs, to stimulate the economy, the federal government, where money should go. Go to Congress. Congress is very important. But one thing you've been really seeing lately is this name. It's called the Do Nothing Congress. Because Congress hasn't stepped up and does what many Americans seem to, although they haven't really done anything. And the recent poll, even though you know me, I'm not really a fan of polls, but I got to bring one out. Apparently, the many polls that has been taken since the beginning of December to now, 80% disapprove Congress, 13% does not. And that's all the different polls rounded up. CBS News, New York Times, Associated Press, GIK, ABC News, Washington Post, Fox News, Gallup. All the members together. They got 80% disapproval rating. Now, when I look at the 80% disapproval rating, do I say I had to do nothing, Congress? No. I don't say that. The reason why I don't say that is when you see do nothing Congress, what are they actually not doing? John Boehner, Speaker of the House, said on Fox News about a year ago, we've passed less laws than any other administration because that's what the American people want. That's what many conservatives want, right? Less laws, less government influence, less laws. The Democrats, the liberals, what do they want to do? They want to spend, 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 create as many laws as possible without actually backtracking if there's a law already existed on the issue they're trying to reform. Gun control is a great example. That's what we always see. Oh, we have 20 new gun laws, even though we probably have another 20 that was passed by a president that we somewhat forgot. So they're doing something. Maybe something I don't agree with or you don't agree with. Now see what we just did there? When we say do nothing Congress, it doesn't mean they're not doing anything. It's they're not doing what some of you agree with. You disapprove. Well, I believe that we should have more gun control since Sandy Hook about a year ago. Congress has not done anything. It's halted. We saw it during the presidential election, and we've seen it many times in the House and Senate. Well, they're not doing anything for me then. Well, they actually did something. It just didn't really go through. I don't like it. Do nothing, Congress. I hate it. Everyone, 80% of Americans, according to all these different polls, disapprove of Congress. But what's the first thing they do? You'll like this one. They vote him back in. What's the first thing they do? They vote for someone else who's just as bad. They still believe the same congressman who supposedly does nothing. Is that great? I'm better going into a phone book and closing my eyes, taking my magical pointer finger, and pointing it. All right, Joey the electrician, he's going for, he'll be congressman of the 12th district of Queens and Brooklyn in New York City. Probably be better. Of course he'll be better. He's not being endorsed by large corporations, no influence around him. Probably doesn't know a darn thing of corruption in politics, because you're not supposed to know that. That's the whole game of politics. I'm supposed to know that. And guess what? Well, he's an electrician. He probably has a local business. So, yeah, I know how you feel. I love when congressmen come up and say, oh, we know how you feel. What do you mean you know how I feel? I just drove through pretty messy snow today. You probably have a barricade of 8 limos coming right down. Stop the world. I don't got that. I got my nice Ford Fusion that warned me every 20 seconds that I'm slipping. And that gives me a reason to go much slower. Do nothing, Congress. Let's go back to that. Do nothing, Congress. I love it. I don't understand this whole do nothing, Congress. We forget that we are the bosses. We, the American people, who 80% of us believe Congress is not doing what we want. Let's look at it this way. You have a business. You're the manager, and let's take that and compare with the American people. And you've got 10 workers, and that's your Congress, 5 House, 5 Senate, and you see 2 of them are not doing the job. 2 of them are sitting there, they're not selling, they're not taking their job seriously, they're not giving a good name to your company. And that's what Congress is doing to the United States of America. They're not giving us a good name. They're not doing anything where we are telling them, can you please look into this, discuss it, and do they do it now? And what happens if someone doesn't do something? You fire them. You get rid of them. You give them a warning. The American people doesn't give no warnings. We scream and yell about do nothing Congress. We go to these pointless polls that's just feeding to the mainstream media, feeding to these main outlets, feeding to my show to actually talk about something for 3 minutes. Well, got to kill time before the McDonald's comes up, before the commercial break. Here we go. We can just vote them right out. Kick them out. But it's hard for us. And I know how it is. I've tried to be informed. I've tried to go to different and to see the different congressmen. But it's hard. Because the parties and the news and just so many congressmen. So many of them. How am I really supposed to know which one is the best, which one's the worst? That's a great question. I can't give you that. I can't give you that. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. It's hard. How am I supposed to know which one? But you have the right. Remember that. You have the right to boot him right out. Goodbye. See you later. Hasta la vista. Don't let the door kick you on the way out. That's an old saying. The teachers can kick me out of a class because I'm disturbing. Why can't I go up and say, guess what, President Obama? If you feel you don't like Congress, how about you give us some information? I'll boot these guys out instead of saying, well, I'm going to do an executive order. If Congress doesn't work with me, I'm going to work by myself. No, that's not how it works. George Washington didn't say that. No. You tell me, these are the congressmen I don't agree with. Because technically President Obama is the one looking over these guys. And you, and women, and you tell me which ones are the bad ones. Because apparently, I'm not being informed correctly. I'm not sure who's the bad one, who's the good one. I have no clue. One advice I want to give to Congress really quick. If you want to look good, if you want to show us that you should not be fired, that you should not have term limits, pay cuts, laws that you dislike on your shoulders, we need civility. And there was this great piece by the Washington Times, and I want to get into it really quickly with you before I go to break. And it was an article called Awaiting a Season for Civility.
Yo Andrew News Talk Show. Every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info how to listen from anywhere? www.yoandrewnts.com.
This is the sound of a flat-screen television hurled off a building. Now the new bike your kid wants. These are the things you could have all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Use Energy Star light bulbs and appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a five, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Hi, I'd like to report a bear sighting, as in Smokey Bear.
Continue.
I was burning yard waste. He told me to remember that if it's too hot to touch, it's too hot to leave.
You know, 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
I know that now.
As usual, the talking bear gets all the credit. Always burn responsibly and contact your local fire department for open burning regulations. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
This is Stereo 1230 WBLQ Westerly Stonington, a DuPonti communication station.
WBLQ.
Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us on and off the air with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com.